I was thinking about the message tonight, and it came to me after I read the pastor's letter for this month, which really just kind of touched me. And I got to thinking about so many of us, we go through, well, let me read something first, and then I'll say what I have to say. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, look at verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Okay? And we know that that word temptations means test. And we know that the test that we are to count all joy is when Satan tries to get us to give in, to give up, or to get out when it relates to God and his word. Now, sometimes those tests can be really, really trying. And we all know that we go through seasons where sometimes the test is more trying than others. And sometimes we find it difficult to find joy in being tested. Okay? Because really the test is whether or not, as we talked about on Sunday, you're going to be obedient to God and whether you're going to obey him. That's the test. And so sometimes when the pressure is on, we find it very difficult. Well, I shouldn't say find it difficult. It's more challenging to find joy when you're being tempted. So tonight, I titled the message, "Be Encouraged," because I want you to know that there is not one test, that is not one trial that you are ever going to go through alone. Amen? You are not going through it alone. And so the enemy of our souls, he wants us to think that the trials and tests we face, we're all out there by our lonesome. And our Heavenly Father wants to be very clear to us that is not the case. Now, when I started thinking about this message, and I'm probably going to tell you more information than you really want to know, I was in the bathtub. Okay, that's enough. No, that's enough. Okay. And so he took my mind to Isaiah chapter 49 is where he took me. And so this is where we're going to start tonight. What we're going to see in the message tonight is that God loves us more than we realize sometimes, and that whenever we think that we are alone, whenever we think that the enemy has gotten the best of us, God says no. He says no. The issue becomes is as we are going through the trial, as we're going through the test, do we believe that God is with us and that what we're going through, as the word says, we are going through it. We're not camping. We're not staying. We are going through it. Remember, David says, "Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So we're going to always have issues that we're going to go through. The enemy doesn't stop. Just because you conquer him in one area does not mean he's not going to try to find another one. So I want you to know that the enemy is always going to come at you, but God is always with you. And when he took me, reminded me of Isaiah chapter 49, it just melted my heart as we began to talk about this a little bit. So look in Isaiah chapter 49. And I really believe that this is a message that will bless you as much as it blessed me, because it's going to help you realize that no matter what the situation is, no matter what it looks like, you are not fighting this by yourself. God is always there. The book of Isaiah is prophecy, primarily about the Messiah and then about his church, okay, us, okay? So as we read through the scriptures we're going to read, because I didn't get out of Isaiah. I was in Isaiah the whole time. So when we're going to read some of these scriptures, think about it's talking about Zion, it's talking about Israel, it's talking about Jacob, but it's a prophecy that relates to us and who we are now in the body of Christ. Look in verse 13. It's in this chapter, it talks about the Messiah coming. It talks about the trial that he's going to face at the hand of Zion, who is talking about the Jews. And then it also talks about how he is going to come out, using Barry's vernacular, on top of all of this. So in Isaiah, remember that. He's going to come out on top. Remember that for us as the body of Christ. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13. It says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. There are times, ladies, gentlemen, I have felt that way. And I know God hadn't forgotten me. I know he hadn't forsaken me. But, you know, you just have this sinking feeling sometimes. And you have to pull yourself and say, wait a minute. I know this is not coming from my father. This is coming from the enemy of my soul. You have to realize that. And you have to bring your mind back to God's word. Verse 15. So Zion says, the Lord, verse 14, has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. God says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Verse 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Here in verse 13, it says, can a woman forget her sucking child? Now, this word woman, the first time it's used, it was used by Adam when he said, God has brought to him woman. She is now bone of my bone. The inference being that is now his wife. So this probably should have been transferred. Wife, mother would have been better than just woman. But it says, can a woman forget? This word forget, as the note said, can she ignore? Can she cease to care about her child? The one who is sucking on her breast, can she cease to forget? And then the sucking child, the image, is a child who's totally dependent upon his mother. He is totally dependent upon his mother. And then God says, she may forget, but not me. And this word not, it means it's an unconditional prohibition. There is just no way I will forget. Now, I want you to picture the image of God talking, what God is saying. God is saying, when a woman has a child, that child is the most important thing to that mother. Every time that child cries, the mother is right there. When that child is hungry, the mother is right there. That child is the most important thing to that mother. Okay? There is no time that child is ever out of that mother's sight. You mothers, your children, when they're small, they're toddlers, you know, before they get 2-3 years old, you don't let them out of your sight. You got tunnel vision when it comes to your children. And God says, you know, just like a mother who has tunnel vision, whose child is the most important thing in her life, there is a possibility that she could forget about him, that she could ignore him, that she could cease to take care of him. You think about that, because sometimes you get busy as a mom doing things, and you don't purposely ignore your child, but your child gets out of your eyesight and your child does things, right? God says, that doesn't work with me. That doesn't work with me. You are never away from me. You are never away from me. Let that sink in. When the trials and the temptations come, the tests, and you feel like you're just out there by yourself, God says, you are never away from me. I am always there for you. Okay? And then he makes a statement in verse 16 that is simply amazing to me. He says, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. I have graven thee on the palms of my hand. I may have missed it, but I can't ever recall seeing someone with a tattoo on the palms of their hands. Have you ever seen someone with tattoos on the palms of their hand? The palm of the hand, Jason said you have, it's the most sensitive part of your body. I mean, for someone to get a tattoo on their hand, they have to really want it. Because it's going to hurt like the dickens more so than here or somewhere else. So God is saying, listen, I love you so much, I put you here. Here. That's where I have you. That's how much I love you. Every time I look at my hands, I see your walls. And that word walls, when you read about it in scripture, I put scripture references, it always talks about protection. And that's what God says. When I look at you, I look at your walls. I know you are protected because of me. Isn't that neat? Hallelujah. Jason, I need your help, sir. Sometimes a picture is worth more than I can ever say it. Okay? No. So here's Jason. Jason is going through a test. Jason is going through a trial. His head is low. He's just wondering, you know, am I in this all by myself? And so his Heavenly Father comes, and he stands here next to Jason. He says, Jason, I remember when your mom used to feed you. Every time, Jason, you made even the slightest sound, your mom was there. Every time you needed to eat, she made sure you ate. She made sure you had a change of diaper. There was nothing your mom didn't do for you. She spent so much time, Jason, thinking about you. I sometimes wondered, did she ever think about me? She loved you so much. But Jason, let me tell you something. Your mom's love doesn't compare to mine. I can never not love you. I can never not be with you, Jason. I'm your father. I love you. I'm always going to be with you. And Jason, let me show you something. Look at my hands. You see, you are here. You are here. Every time I do this, Jason, I see you. Every time. And see, this is how important you are to me. You are always part of me. You are always part of my thoughts, my thinking. Nothing is ever going to separate us, Jason. Nothing. You can take that to the bank, my son. Thank you, sir. Jason, would you take a chair with you? Oh, Lord. Just kidding. I wanted to paint that picture for you because, see, that's how our Heavenly Father treats us. He lets us know that there is nothing more important to him than us. There's nothing more important to him than us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, again, he's still talking about the prophecy related to the church. And what has happened, the church is turning away from God. And God, because the church is turning away from God, the church is turning away and walking into judgment. And so God is going to let the judgment fall. When you get down to verse 27, it says, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. So you see what's happening. Judgment is happening. But then look at verse 30. He says, ye, however, when all of this is happening, when all HG double hockey sticks is breaking loose, you will have a song in the night, a holy solemnity. When a holy solemnity is kept, and a gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. God says you will have. It's not a maybe. It's not a perhaps. It's not a possibility. The word have means it shall come to pass. Now, why will it come to pass? Go back up to verse 15. Because this is what God told the rebellious people to do. He says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall your strength, and you would not. You would not what? You would not return to me. So God says that when you return to me, you shall have a song in the night. And see, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we forget that we have a song in the night. And we have a song in the night because of who we trust, who we put our faith in. So it may look like all H-E double hockey sticks is breaking loose, but we have a song in the night because we are sure of who we serve, and we are sure of how much he loves us. So it doesn't matter what's going on outside. You can sleep. Have a peaceful sleep. And I know this, it's going to take some work to really to nail your mind down to say, wait a minute. God loves me. There's nothing he wouldn't do for me. Yeah, I'm going through a test right now. I'm going through a trial right now. I don't like it. It's bothering me. Maybe it's causing a little emotion to rise up in me that I don't like feeling. But wait a minute. Scripture says that when I trust in God, when I believe what his word says, I can have a song in the night. I can lay my head down and my sleep can be peaceful. Scripture promises that, people. It promises that. And I think it's so neat that when he talks about a song in the night, remember how the children of Israel left Egypt at night and they left with a song. That's what he's referring to. They left with a song. Now look at Job 35. In Job 35, verse 10. This is one of Job's friends trying to give Job advice. And he gets down to verse 10. He says, because he's saying that Job has done some things that he shouldn't have done. And so Job is not asking, where is my maker? But verse 10 says, but none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? Job, you're going through this issue. Where is your God who gives you a song in the night? And he does give us a song in the night. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot have a song in the night. You cannot have a song in the night if your mind is so torn up emotionally. You cannot have a song in the night. Job's life was a mess at this point. And his friends were saying, where is your song, Job? Where is your song in the night? And we know that God comes later on and explains all that to all four of them. But then now look at Psalm 42. Still looking at song in the night. Psalm 42. Psalm 48. Verse 12. Am I looking at the right place? Psalm 42. I'm sorry. Verse 8. I love this whole chapter. Verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Isn't that neat? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. This is David. While they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? So he's being beaten up by his enemies. Now, where's your God, David? Bam, bam, bam. Where's your God? Okay. David comes to this realization in verse 5. David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know what David is telling me? Being cast down is a decision that you make. Being cast down is a decision that you make. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm not going to be downcast anymore, soul. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to make a decision to praise him. Okay? And then you get down to verse 8. He says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And then the night, what will be? His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Isn't that neat? We can have a song in the night, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on externally. Because God says, you trust in me, like David says. He says, for yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his night the song shall be within me, with me. Why? Because David made a decision back in verse 5 to praise God. You see that? To praise God. The most challenging time to praise God is when everything else in the entire world is telling you you have nothing to praise him for. Your life is going downhill quickly. What is there to praise God for? And David says, wait a minute, I don't care what my emotions are telling me. I don't care what things look like. I am going to praise God. And because I am praising God, I am going to have a song in the night. Okay? Look at chapter 41 of Isaiah. Remember, I told you the Lord didn't even let me get out of Isaiah, chapter 41. And in chapter 41, God says in verse 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. Remember there's a verse in the New Testament says, he who contendeth with thee will contend with me, something along those lines. I'm kind of jumbling it, but you understand the essence. Verse 12, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. And back in verse 10, where it says, be not dismayed, it means to look around in alarm and danger. To look around in alarm and danger. And there are a lot of things that can cause us to look with eyes of fear, with eyes of concern. And Isaiah here in verse 40, in chapter 41, verse 10, God says, you don't look around with eyes of alarm and fear. Remember, the five senses dictate too much of our lives right now. The five senses, what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, the five senses. God says, you don't let that cause you to be alarmed or cause you to have feelings of danger. Fear not. Fear not. For I am with thee. For I am God. And then look what God's response was. He says, you don't get fearful. You don't let things get you emotionally all torn up because I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Not only that, I will help you. I will uphold thee with the right hand. The Lord's right hand. The Lord's right hand. I will uphold you. See, God is saying that when you don't fear, when you trust me to be your heavenly Father, remember he's talking to the body of Christ, when you trust me to be your heavenly Father, I will strengthen you when those fears start to attack you emotionally. I will help you when you feel overcome by the fears that come to you from the world. And I will hold you with my right hand. When God holds someone with his right hand, nothing touches it. Nothing. And so God is telling me, listen, guys, I got this. I got this. Okay? You have to let me have this. Because so many times God wants to have it. We don't want to let it go. We don't want to let it go. But God says, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee. Now let's turn to Isaiah 65 before we're going to wrap it up. I think this is probably one of my, it's a section of scripture that is just amazing to me here in Isaiah. Because it starts out, God says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I found of them, verse 1, that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. Do you see that? He says, I spread out my hands all day to a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, after their own thoughts. A people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifices in the gardens and burneth incense upon the bricks. So you see how God is describing what's going on here in the first part of the chapter. But as you read on, God says, but you know, a change is coming. This current heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's not going to stay this way. There are going to be a lot of changes that I'm going to make when my son comes and does what I have asked him to do. And then we get down to verse 17. He says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read the next 5 verses out loud. And joy in my people. Do you see that? God says he joys in his people. That's you. That's you. He has joy with you. He enjoys your company. He enjoys spending time with you. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Why? Because God enjoys his people. He has the joy of his people. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Verse 20. You should put a star around it, highlighted in 99 different colors. It's a wonderful verse. He says, God says, and I joy in my people. And because I joy in my people, verse 19, the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. After today, there will be no more children who will die young. Capture that. No children will die young. If you believe what God tells you, if you believe what God says in this verse. And not only that, nor will an old man that has not fulfilled his days. You're not an old man at 27. Capture the image. You're not an old man at 50. You're not an old man at 53 and 2 more days, he'll be 54. You're not an old man, Brother Jerry. You're not an old man. He's in his 70s. You will fulfill your days. You will complete your days. You will finish your days. Get that in your head, guys. Don't let the enemy tell you anything different. You will fulfill your days. You will fulfill your days. For the child should die in 100 years old. A child is going to fulfill their days. Verse 21. And they shall build houses. God, I love this stuff. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Do you see that? Not only when you are the joy of God, when you are the joy of the Lord, when you build a house, you're going to live in that house. When you plant your vineyard, you're going to eat the results of that vineyard. Think about the vineyard as your job, as your place of employment. You're going to reap the benefits, your labor. And then in verse 22, it says, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Isn't that neat? God says, when my children build their homes, when my children build their lives, when my children's vineyards are based around me and my word and the things that I want, no one else is going to live in their homes that they built as they honored me. No one else is going to get the benefits of their hard labor because they honored me. God says when you honor him, you are going to get the benefits of what you do. See, many of us, we spend 30, 40, 50 years working, and there are many Christians who at the end of that 30, 40, 50 years, they have built things, they have things, they don't get a chance to enjoy them. God says that is not my plan for you. My plan for you is when you work, and you work to honor me, to do the things I want you to do, you're going to enjoy the fruits of your labor. You're going to enjoy the home that you built. You're going to enjoy the fruits of all the vineyards you have built, you have planted over the years. You are going to get the benefits of that. You will live to use it. You will live to enjoy it. So as you're going through these trials, these tests, going through them, remember, God says, you are going through them, but you hang with me. You are going to enjoy all the things you have worked and built for me. Because, you know, all the homes that we have, we're really having those things for him. If he needs them, you can have it. So God says, when you do things for me, you will get a chance to enjoy them. Jason, you and Lee, you guys are still building. And God says, you will live to enjoy it. Sharon, you will live to enjoy. Ashani, Stephen, you will live to enjoy what you are building. You will live to enjoy what you are building. Isn't that wonderful? And hallelujah, if you're enjoying what you're building, you know your children are. And so your children are going to be right there with you, enjoying it. And then they're going to have the same opportunity, if the Lord tarries, to build and plant and enjoy like you did. And then their children, because they're the heritage of the Lord. Okay? Verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isn't that neat? Of all the comparisons God could have made for us, he chose a tree. He chose a tree. And you and I both know that a tree really doesn't start living until it gets about, what, 40, 50, 100 years old? No. It really starts to grow and have leaves and all that. He compares us to a tree. He says, just like that tree, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. My dad, he's gone now. In his yard, he has trees in his yard that were in his yard before he was born. That's how long those trees have been there. And God says, just like a tree, ladies and gentlemen, your life can be just like that tree. You will enjoy, you will consume, you will wear out. Isn't that neat how the Greek puts that, the Hebrew puts that, what you have labored hard for. You will do it. They shall not labor, verse 23, in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. Bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. He's talking about you shall not have children who would die in childbirth. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about in this verse. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and we are the blessed of the Lord. Look at verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. Isn't that just like a mother, a wife? Doris anticipates me a lot. She does. She'll come home, she's gone to the store and bought something, and she'll give it to me. And she knows that I needed that. She knows that I needed that. And God is saying, I know what you need even before you ask me. I'm going to answer that for you. Okay? Even before you answer. And even while you are asking, it's going to be done. Why? Because we are the joy of the Lord. We are his joy. So what is God saying? He's telling us in verse 23 that not only will our lives be full of days, but so will our children's. So when you're going through your trials, when you're going through your tests, ladies and gentlemen, remember, you are not going through them alone. Your Heavenly Father is right there with you. Just like that mother was right there with that child, and that child no longer needed to suck the breast. The mother is right there. God is right there with you. And there is no trial, there is no test that you are going to take that he's not going to be there for you. So have the mindset that, yeah, I'm going through a tough time right now. It seems to be very difficult. But the key word is I'm going through. I'm not staying, I'm not camping out, I'm not building a new house right here in the through. I am going through this situation in my life, which means that I'm going to come out on the other side victorious.